Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news, episode number 229 for June 24th, 2019. Today, we will be discussing the 300th weekly report, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. But if you'd like to get your own copy of the report, just go to timingresearch.com/report, and you can download the PDF version, which I'm showing on this, which you should be seeing, or you can access the web version there as well. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern time. But you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all episodes. Just search for Timing Research on your favorite podcast directory and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research. And today I have arranged for Bennett McDowell, Sam Borgi, Jake Bernstein, and Anka Medcalf to join us with Anka as moderator. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to her.
Thank you so much, Dave. And thank you for hosting me and hosting us on your show today. It is Monday, June 24th, and it is also the last trading week of the month and last trading week of the quarter. And what an impressive quarter it was, right? Roller coaster quarter. All right. So first off, just want to introduce our speakers for today. We have Bennett McDowell of TradersCoach.com joining us. We also have Sam Borgi of TradingGods.net, Jack Bernstein of TradeFutures.com, and yours truly, Anka Medcalf of TradeOutloud.com. All right, so for today, we have a lot of topics that we want to tap on. First question is, which direction do you think the S&P 500 index will move this upcoming Monday's open to Friday's close? So from today into the end of the week. Why don't we start with Bennett?
Anka, how are you? Thank you. And hi, Jake. How are you? And Sam, nice to meet you. I don't think I've met you before. Okay, let me share a screen here. I always love this question. A little bit of brain surgery, I think, for all of us on this one. You know, we've been going up quite a while now in the S&P E-mini contract. And if we look at the chart here, I have an indicator here, right here. We call it the OWL indicator, and it measures momentum. And basically what we're seeing here, of course, is higher highs at this particular point with lower momentum. So we're seeing a little bit of bearish divergence building. And when we see this type of thing, it doesn't mean the trend has ended, because it clearly is currently in an uptrend. And, you know, the fundamentals right now with the FOMC not really raising rates and even possibly talking about lowering rates, which I don't think is going to happen, but that's what they're saying. It's fueling the market. And then also too, you know, we've had all this tension overseas with Iran and everything else, but the market seems to shrug that off and go higher. So these are all indications of a impulsive bullish trend at this particular time. And, you know, we think it's probably going to go higher, but I do think maybe, just maybe by the end of the week, we might see some softening in this. So my forecast on this is basically going to be probably more highs early in the week this week. I think it's going to continue to the upside. The question is whether it's going to start to take a breath towards the end of the week or maybe next week. I'm going to say about a 60% clarity, which is not very high, I think the market could actually be a little bit on the downside by the end of the week. Upside, beginning of the week, maybe till Wednesday or Thursday, but then I think some selling coming back in. Not the end of a trend, but some normal selling in the market taking a breath at that point. So I'm going to say lower with a 60% accuracy.
Thank you so much for your answer. And now, Sam, what are your thoughts about the market? But very briefly, so when we go later on, we can discuss charts and we can discuss your thoughts on the technicals behind the move. So what are your thoughts on the S&P 500? Where do you think it's going to close on Friday, higher or lower?
Well, mirroring the previous analysis, I came into this week thinking that it'll probably go a little bit lower. Again, not ending the uptrend, but I just think that we've fully retraced the downside that we saw back in May. I think that the uptrend that we saw in the past few weeks is kind of moderated. So I was expecting a slight dip this week, probably with a certainty rate of about 60 to 65%.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sam. Jake, how about you? Where do you think the market is going to close this week?
The trend is your friend. There's no indication of a top at this point in time. Anything's possible in the geopolitical arena that we have right now. Later on, I'm going to show the reason I think will be higher. But again, I don't want to buck this trend. There's significant buying over here, and we want to continue to trade with the trend, which is up.
All right. Thank you so much, Jake. And here's my thought on the S&P. I think that we're going to go higher. I have to agree with Jake here. And I think that we still don't have any signs of topping at this point. And 75% to 80% higher on this move. All right. Now, let's get deep into some technicals here. And Bennett, we're going to start with you. First off, rate your confidence in your answer to question one in regards to the S&P 500 direction by estimating the probability you have correctly predicted the next week's market move.
All right. I might have answered that one already.
Yeah, you did already. Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to add anything to what you have mentioned? Do you fear any divergence that may pop up in the market due to the OPEC meeting this week or the G20 meeting upcoming Thursday and Friday?
Well, while all those could certainly have an impact, you know, I'm pretty much rely on the technicals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as Jake said, I mean, it is in an uptrend right now. You can't dispute that. The reality is it's an uptrend. So when we talk about forecasting, you know, we're seeing bearish divergence. I'm seeing a little bit on what I'm looking at here is a little bit of bearish momentum coming in. But, you know, we've seen that before. It's not anything significant. But basically what I'm looking at here primarily is the fact that we have a little bit of a topping here. Now, we maybe will come back out again and then head down, or maybe we'll head right down from here. But I think the result of this is eventually going to be a pullback maybe into this target zone here. This is the E-mini I have right here of 28.84 to 28.31 before going, you know, significantly higher, but you may get another push to the upside. So, you know, I wouldn't fight the trend, but by the same token, if you're looking to get into something here, you may want to wait for the next pullback.
Yeah, I have to agree. Yeah, definitely the market looks a little bit extended, however, still maintaining the trend. So it's definitely waiting for some resolution here. Sam, what are your thoughts about the technicals?
Well, I mean, I tend to look more at the macro picture, which kind of makes a lot of these short-term moves more difficult for me to predict. But I am looking at this week's G20 meeting with Trump and Xi, and I know that they're going to be talking trade, but there's not really much in the way of resolution on that front. So I think that any kind of headline that doesn't go the way of a swift trade resolution coming soon could impact the market. Ultimately, I don't disagree that the market is in an uptrend, but I am about 60% sure that maybe we'll see a lower move by Friday's close.
All right. Thank you so much, Sam. Jake, any technicals that you're watching that are backing up? Yeah. Your decision for the S&P to go higher?
So let me try screen share, Anka. Hang on 1 second. Let me know when you see my screen. I'm a little technically challenged when it comes to screen sharing. So just 1 moment, please. And let me know if you see my screen.
Not yet.
Not yet? Let me try it again.
All right. Left-hand side, screen share, select your screen, and...
Yep, okay. Hang on a moment. Mm-hmm. Screen share, select my screen. 1 moment, please. And do you see a chart?
Perfect. Yes, we do.
Beautiful. This is the entire history of S&P going back to 1983, the first year of trading. I'm numbers guy, so I've taken every year of the September S&P futures contract, as you can see, 1983 to 2018, and asked the question, what's normal for the market at this time of the year? So here's where we are right now, going into the last couple of weeks of June, which are basically unpredictable. Oh, hold on 1 second. Let me return to this. Just a moment, please. Going back into the last couple of weeks of June, which are basically unpredictable because the odds are 50-50. Going into the first week of July, we have 64% odds of going higher. So therefore, because I'm a numbers guy, I will go with the numbers, which say higher. And this is my justification. I don't look at fundamentals. The technicals precede the fundamentals most of the time. I can ask the computer a more direct question. Let me show you what I mean. I can ask the question, are there any specific trades? Let me show you what I mean. I go to US futures trades on my computer. Everything has been programmed in for me. And ask the question, for S&P futures, are there any trades with high probability in the month of June? So I'm going to do that real quickly. I don't mean to hog anyone's time, but I'll try and be quick about it. So show me.
We love it. Take your time.
Okay, show me S&P trades for June. June and July, I asked the question, I only want to see trades that have been right 75% of the time or more. So I put my 75 in here and ask the question. And if there's anything that meets my criteria, computer will crunch the numbers and come back to me and give me a specific trade. And it does. So my odds of buying September S&P, end of day, June 27th, getting out the 20th of July, have been 78%. I can show you the complete track record over here. So because I'm a numbers guy, I like numbers. So here's the numbers. The entire history of this procedure gives me the stop, the target, and everything. Come on, computer, cooperate with me. Here we go. Every year, every trade. And hold on, please. The entire history and the track record. So as you can see, this trade has been right every year, going all the way back to here. It's only had one big loss, and here's the equity curve. So there's my answer, Anka.
Thank you so much, Jay. I mean, you can't be any preciser than that, right? So number peak. But I'm just going to share my chart very quickly right now. So there's no doubt about it that last week we made a new high in the mini S&P. We just punched in, and this is the S&P SPX, the S&P 500 index. Made a new high, 2964.15. And right now we're just hovering within this top range right here. So gonna take it very quickly to the hourly chart. And as you can see, we're hovering, and we have been hovering for the last two trading sessions, well, 2.5 trading sessions. We're also coming from a quad witching option expiration that was last Friday, and things are a little bit choppy as always into that quad expiration, and hence the sideways range that we're having currently in the SPX. And my thought on the technicals is that as long as we're holding this minor support into the 2931, I agree with Jake, and I think we have a high probability on a breakout to continue higher into further targets. And as far as the SPX, and also because I'm a futures trader, I love to look at the E-mini S&P. And E-mini S&P, we do have overnight trading, and therefore we have a bunch more other information here. Although we are a little bit extended to the upside, that and the I use the William percent R indicator. Although we are at the highs, that doesn't necessarily mean that this is a shorting territory. And but to me, it means more that I should hold on to my winning positions and try to trail according to my plan, so not be extremely complacent on trailing my trades. I think that if we break over 2963, and in fact, I do have an alert over this area, I think that we're going to have another leg up. Also, what I can see from this chart is that from the low that we have established not long ago, but a couple of weeks ago, into the 2731, we had a really nice rounded bottom. And once we traded with this really nice bull sandwich that you see here, I hope you guys can see it. It's this red bar that is flanked between two green bars, and we have a nice rocket bar here that is igniting higher. We pretty much rode the 20 simple moving average sideways market again. Then we had the pop higher. And if you recall, the pop higher, guys, was due to a tweet. And the tweet wasn't even, mentioning any kind of resolution. It was just a tweet from President Trump just saying that he's going to be Chinese President Xi at the G20 meeting. So no resolution. I think that we may have a sideways market going into the G20 meeting. And in fact, we do have some other elements throughout this week that I think is going to make a very solid sideways market. First off, we have the OPEC meeting, which is tomorrow. We have the GDP numbers on Thursday, and we also have the G20, which is Thursday and Friday, and we have a lot going on this week. I think that as long as everything is going to be in line with the technicals, there is still a strong chance for a continuation higher of this trend. We don't have any topping signs, just a little bit extended, but as you can see right here from the S&P and on the 1 hour range, we're still into a possible trend continuation. So as long as this sideways range is going to be in place, I'm going to be looking for a breakout, and I will be playing the breakout should this occur. All right, so that's my two cents about about the chart. All right, so let's continue further down with our questions. And Bennett, I'm gonna start again with you. What procedures do you use to monitor and evaluate your trading results and progress over time?
Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
sounds okay, great. All right, that's actually a really good question, because I do a lot of coaching with students. And one of the things things that I find when I talk with traders out there is a lot of them keep horrible records. They don't keep precise records of their trading. And, you know, I always say it's very difficult to fix your trading if you don't really know where you stand in the current reality. So I think record keeping is really, really important. We've developed a piece of software. Let me bring it up, called the Trader's Assistant, which keeps track of all your trades. And I'm going to bring that up. I think you can see my screen in just a second. That'll pop up. And basically what this does is it allows you to actually add trades in and record your exits, put some notes in, and then it can keep track of any closed trades you have and also give you an equity curve, scorecard, ledger. So really there's no hiding. You know what I'm saying, Anka? You can't hide from your trading when you're keeping really good records. And I think that's really, really important. And so we use this religiously for all our trading trades, basically. We put all our trades in there, and then we can analyze from a macro to a micro level. We can look at quarterly results, go down to which particular month in the quarter we did good, and then actually go down to the week, the day, and then actually take a look at the trade posting card as well. So you can really get pretty precise on that. And I think that's really important. We also use something called the trade size calculator. And I'll basically go through this a little bit more when we talk about our favorite stock pick for the week. But this is something that we use to do two things. One, it calculates the trade size based on your entry, exit, your win-loss ratio, your payoff ratio, your account size. And then also we take a look at your risk reward depending upon where your target zone is. So, you know, risk control, I think, is really separates the, it's the door that separates the pros from the novices. And we focus an awful lot on that. And I know everybody here does too.
That is fantastic. And I do agree with you. We need to keep record. And I love the wording that you use, horrible records. And that is so true. That is so typical for beginner traders. And I think that, you know, when you first start trading, you know, what you think is that, oh, I have a trading plan. It's right here in my brain. No, right. It should be laid out, right?
Right.
And in fact, with the journaling, I think the same thing. Oh, I remember. Oh, don't, like my broker is keeping a record. Why should I keep a record?
Right. That's right. And you'll never hear about the bad trades either.
No, because you forget them. And in fact, I think that we should be learning from our mistakes. And I think that, yeah, even if you have been trading for 20 years, 30 years, like you're still learning. And I think that there is still a lot to learn in the market.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you got to be humble in the markets, because no matter how long you've been doing this, mm-hmm. you know, we're just not right all the time.
Absolutely. Right? I can agree more.
So you have to realize that. You have to use
stop. We're not right all the time. I don't want to play this game. What did you just say? We're not right all the time?
Me?
Yeah.
I just said you're not right all the time.
Then I don't want to play this game.
Yeah. Well, that's basically what they say, right? but you know, and you know, the other thing too is, Jake, it's funny. It's like, you know, good trading, and you know this because you've been doing this for a real long time. You know, it's really, when you get good at it, it's a business. You know, where you're cutting your losers short, letting your winners run, and it can be quite, I don't want to say boring, but very structured.
True.
You know, and I think a lot of people starting out in trading the markets don't like that. They want to feel like they're in Vegas. Well, they want that excitement.
You know, the profile of the typical trader is this. They open an account. They know nothing about trading. They lose money. They say, well, I didn't expect to win the first time. I can handle one loss.
Right.
They lose again. Now they're getting dismayed. The two losses in a row, this is ridiculous. I'm going to try it one more time. They take a third loss. They say, that's it. Three times in a row, I'm done with this. They don't realize that even the best trading strategies will lose six or seven times in a row. And if you
that's
can't,
right.
Don't
that's
even
right. And you know, again, if you test your system and you know what its boundaries are, all right, then that should not be a problem, because you keep going until you exceed your boundaries. Then you got a problem.
Absolutely. Well stated.
Or it's the market's fault. The market right. didn't cooperate.
Well, that's a classic.
It's going to be Anka's fault pretty soon.
Okay, Sam, let's get, we want to hear your thought. So what kind of procedure do you use to monitor and evaluate your trading results and progress over time?
So, you know, I'm part of TradingGods.net, and we're actively involved in trading the VIX markets. We trade, you know, VIX options and VIX futures. And typically what we do is we monitor return on risk. So it's very important for us not to risk too much capital on any one trade. Obviously, for us, our strategy is selling options. So it's all about hitting singles and doubles. So our focus has always been on limiting losses, and the gains in that case tend to take care of themselves. I mean, we essentially every 3 months or so, we give our readers a recap of how we perform. We show them an overview of our winning trades, how many trades that we've executed over the past 3 months. And then we break down our winning trades versus our losing trades, our net profit, as well as our largest winner over that period. So it's a pretty simple approach, but it's something that we found to be pretty effective over the long term.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sam. Jake, any specific method that you're using? You've been in the business for so long, so just give us your secret.
It's been half a century, Anka.
Give us your secret. We have to know your secret.
Like the trading log, it's not a secret. Anybody can do it, but you got to have the right organization. Who was it that showed his trading log?
It was Bennett with the trading log.
Yeah. Beautiful. Perfect. Love it. Use it. Everyone should be using something just like that. And there's no secret to it.
I agree. Thank you so much. All right. And here's my thought on how I monitor, how I was taught to monitor my trades and evaluate my trading results. I have journaled right from the start, right from the get-go. And I understood that it is a numbers game. It is an odds game, if you will. And I was taught, I'm going to give you a quick idea of how you could do this journaling and how it worked for me. When I started trading, I started with stock trading. I was a very active stock day trader. Then I transitioned into full-time futures day trading and swing trading. And when I first started trading, my mentor taught me that I need to keep a journal. If you want to fast forward your progress, you need to have a very structured approach, just like Jake said. And I understood that. I tend to focus like on trading with the mathematical precision. So you can have like a really easy laid out journal with the date. The hour is very important. There are certain reversal times in the market that you need to take aware of, especially if you're day trading. If you're swing trading, obviously the date is fine. And then, you know, whether you took the position long or short, the symbol that you're trading, and then your entry, your stop, your target levels that you're watching, and then of course your results. But the most important thing comes at the very end, and that is the last piece of the puzzle is with ample explanations on why you took the trade. Was it a buy setup? Was it a breakout? What was the strategy? What was the timing of the day? What was the context? And I think that the more information you provide there, the better it is. For day traders, that a lot of day traders are, especially stock day traders, love to trade gaps. If that stock was a gap up or a gap down, if that stock was a breakout, and again, depending on the strategy, and at the end of the month, or better yet, at the end of the quarter, you could assess yourself. This is like self-coaching. And then at the end, you draw a line and say, hey, you know what? The gaps are not working for me. Just cut your losses. You know, just don't trade gaps anymore and trade the strategies that are making you money. And I think that's one of the most important things that worked for me. And I was able to cut, you know, what was not working for me, because you can't be great at everything that you're doing. You must have a strategy, or you must have a setup that works better for you than anything else. So that's my thought on the process. All right. So let's continue with, first off, you know what? We're doing this upside down right now. And I want to go back to you, Bennett. And I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your company.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering when we were going to do that.
I skipped it.
I thought you were going to save that to the end, but that's fine.
Okay.
I founded TradersCoach.com back in the 1990s, and we focused pretty much at that particular point. It really wasn't a website that we used for selling software or marketing materials, because back in the 1990s, websites were a little bit rudimentary. And what we used it for primarily was that I was working for a wirehouse as a trader. trader, and we had and we were managing money for clients, and we usually had it set up. The fanciest thing back then was like a chat service, and that was really cool back then. And what we did is we had everybody meet at traderscoach.com every Sunday before the week started, and we would chat, or we'd go, you know, if I need them to sign a form, those would be available. So that's really how we got started. It was a chat service where I actually reviewed trades with my clients. And then it morphed into, as technology got better, it morphed into what it is today, which is where I was able to actually put my trading rules and formulas into software, which we call the Applied Reality Trading System, along with some other tools that we use, the AL, PTF, TLM, and our risk control tools. Those are some I showed you as well. So, and we do a lot of education in terms of online courses now too. So it's kind of interesting as the technology changes, you know, I'm sure for all of us, you know, how we deliver our products and services have changed. But that's really what we focus on. We're really focusing on a variety of different paths to reach traders really before they blow themselves up, so to speak. We want to get there before they lose money.
That's ideal, right?
Absolutely.
Too late.
Okay. Yeah.
Too late for some, right, Jake?
Many.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Okay, Sam, what are your thoughts? I'm sorry, but not your thoughts. A little bit intro about yourself and what your company does.
Sure, absolutely. So I'm part of an organization called TradingGods.net. Our goal is to help traders navigate the volatility markets and to trade volatility as an asset. There's been a lot of movement in volatility over the past little while. It's gone down quite a bit, but earlier this year, we saw some big spikes in the VIX. So we have a program called the VIX Trader, TradingGods.net, which helps new investors as well as seasoned traders better access the volatility market through VIX options and futures and ETNs. So we have an educational program there, and our goal is simply to help traders learn how to navigate through the volatility market and use that to their advantage.
That is great. Thank you, Sam. Jake, a little bit about yourself and your company.
Well, let's see, Anna. I started trading in the summer of 1969-68. Been trading since then. If people want to find out about me, they can simply go to my website, trade-futures.com. They'll see why some people love me, some people hate me. I'm a completely reality-based trader. We trade by the numbers. My first only job, real job, was working as a clinical psychologist in a mental institution in Chicago. I still do the same work, but I get paid a lot better. I'm a real trader. I really trade. I trade what I teach, and I teach what I trade. Very simple. Not much else to say about me, except I've been around for a long time. Written 45 books, been on Wall Street Week, CNN, CNBC, you name it. That's it about me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jake. I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about myself. I've been trading the markets as an independent trader for about 16 years. And prior to becoming an independent trader, I have 10 years in investment banking, and I left that nice and cozy job for day trading the markets and swing trading the markets. And it was the best decision that I've ever made. I love it. When I grow up, I wish to be like Jake. I'm also the founder and CEO of TradeOutLoud.com, which is a trading education firm that is specialized in educating individuals how to day trade and swing trade the futures and the equities market. I'm a very active day trader, a futures day trader, and I swing trade futures and equities. And I have been featured again in a lot of media financial outlets. All right. So I hope this is okay with David. I want to go a little bit off topic here and talk a little bit about gold. David, I hope this is okay. I've received 5 emails.
Sure,
is it okay?
Sure.
I have received 5 emails, and someone that is right now listening into this show just tweeted me and asked me, okay, can I ask all of the presenters here to share their thoughts on gold, where it is, if it has more upside, if it will enter a retracement, and what is going on with gold? Do you guys mind if we talk a little bit about gold?
Go right ahead.
Okay. All right. So, Bennett, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts on gold? I mean, it had an impressive move. Today, it moved up like almost $20, and it's just impressive, and silver is lagging at this point. Do you have any thoughts?
Oh, I always have some thoughts. question is whether they're any good or not. So here's, we got a situation. I got a weekly chart in front of you on gold here. And some of the things that we look at, I mean, just from a, now this is a weekly chart. So this is a fairly long-term chart, but you can certainly see this range bound back and forth for quite a long time. I mean, I'm going back to 2015. And so now we're starting to get to the upper limit to really start to break out here. We've got some things happening. We just, this indicator called the PTF just turned green here. And this is pretty significant because it's indicating it's got about a 75% probability, which is pretty high. And it, all it says is that there are going to be more highs in the market. Now, it's not saying you can't have a pullback, but it's basically saying that any pullback you have won't be a change in trend. It will be just that, a pullback. So more highs from a long-term perspective is coming into gold. So it was a significant breakout. If we take a look at some other time frames, here's the daily chart in the center, which I think you can see now. And basically, this indicator here is indicating that this is in a major impulsive wave. And we know that because I'll spare you with all the details. But when you see a pink dot like that, if you're an Elliott wave person, that's a major impulsive wave. And so we have a green momentum here, green in the PTF. So more highs coming on this time frame as well. And also now trend lines are all positive as well. So this is a 60 minute here, still going up. So more highs are coming. So this is a fairly significant breakout.
Thank you so much. Sam, what are your thoughts? Do you trade gold?
I don't trade gold, but I mean, I have been monitoring it for a while now. And I mean, it definitely is a significant breakout because I think we're eyeing 6-year highs right now. So it's been a pretty significant move really since last week. Again, I tend to follow the macro picture. You begin to see what's happening with central banks and how many central banks have been loading up on bullion really for since last fall. You hear a lot of news from the People's Bank of China loading up on gold. You see the current low rate environment that we have and the several cuts to global economic growth by the IMF, World Bank, and so on. I just think it's gold's time now to shine when it comes to all of the haven demand that we're seeing. So it's not a surprise to me to see how far it's gone. Maybe the rapid nature of the rally took a lot of us by surprise. I didn't expect it to rise this quickly, but it's breaking out of 1400, and I think we haven't seen that in about 6 years now. So it's definitely significant, and it seems like it has more legs to continue going higher.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just on a super super power trend. Another question, and this is for you because you are a volatility trader, and it comes from the same trader that asked the question about gold. Would you consider legging into the VIX ahead of the G20 meeting for a long position?
Huh, that's a really interesting question. I don't see the VIX going up significantly anytime soon. It just doesn't seem like there's any scope for that. The VIX right now is well below the historic average. I think you should pay attention to some of the chatter around the US and China. I don't see volatility spiking with the S&P at record highs. So I think maybe I'd hold back on that trade for now.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sam. Jake, any thoughts on gold?
We've been bullish on gold for about a year now. The trend is higher, significantly higher. It's a little bit of an anomaly for gold and stocks to be going up at the same time. The market sentiment is over 90% bullish on gold, which does call for a short-term pullback. The big move was in palladium, which we were bullish on for 3 years. You did have a wave of commercial buying activity in gold about 6 months ago for the first time in about 7 years, which is a very bullish indication. There's no indication of anything more than a short-term top do at this time, so the trend remains very strong right now.
Thank you so much, Jake. And I'm going to give my personal opinion. I'm actually bullish on gold. I think that gold can potentially continue higher. I have a target on it for into the 1480s. And I have been talking about this pullback and about the bullishness coming back to gold for some time now. And recently, we did have this very nice pullback buy. I don't know if you guys can see it. I'm going to go onto a closer time frame, but I just wanted to wrap up this chart here. So we had a high in February, and then we pulled back in May, and then June was actually the breakout. So the pullback buy at this level, finally it was digesting. So we were just coiling around. So as messy as it was, this was just a coil around that 1300 level for for a long, long period of time. Once we broke over the 1300, the first hurdle came into the 1375 resistance. We broke through this resistance, and then we're just full throttle higher. I think there's more juice in gold into the 1480, and you can better see this price action activity. This is a far out monthly chart. This is a weekly chart, so it had a lot of issues with the pullback. So even if we would have tried an early pullback buy, which was valid in play here, you would have seen that, you know, it broke the support level. It rotated immediately back to the downside and came back in into the 1260, and then it rotated back again into the 1300, and then 1300 was that common denominator for gold at this point, and we went full throttle higher. And as you can see, the next projection on gold that I have here, a fib on 1480-82. All right. Okay, so let's continue. Bennett, do you have any additional comments on the market?
Uncle, let's do just any trade idea from everyone.
Yeah. Okay, trade idea. Bennett, we're gonna start with you. A trade idea.
Okay. I've got one. I'll share in just a minute. You know, Jake, I think that was an excellent point you broke out here about the gold market, and that it is a little bit of an anomaly to have gold get strong when the market's been so strong. I have kind of found that to be kind of an interesting situation as well. If you look at the chart here, and this happens to be the ETF, a lot of people trade the GLD ETF, but it's just basically the same chart as you'll see overall. This is a weekly chart. Actually, the target zone, we think it's going to take out eventually its high back in 2011. Eventually, won't happen tomorrow, but it should get up there at some particular point. And if you're an Elliott Wave person, here's your 3, here's your 4, and here's your 5 target range. And on the GLD stock, it's 180 to 231 is the target range. So, again, like you, we've been in gold to the long side with our stop sitting right under here, and it's just been going nowhere for quite some time. So eventually it should break out. I'm a little surprised it's doing it now, but it certainly seems to be doing it. We certainly hope it will continue. All right. Let me go to my pick for today or this week. We actually like Qualcomm. All right. It's a stock that had a top here in May. And if we do the Elliott Wave count, 3, 4, 5 target zone, we're thinking around 90 to 105.64. Nice entry off this pyramid here, green PTF. And in terms of risk control, one thing that's kind of fun to look at that we haven't looked at here is what we do. We use something called the trade size calculator, also called the risk reward calculator as well. And for example, in a hypothetical situation, if we just put in a $75,000 account, percent risk on the trade, 2%, which means that you don't want to lose any more than 2% of your $75,000, which comes to about $1,500. Entry price off this entry icon you see here called the pyramid is $72.23. The exit price would be $67.89. So that'd be your initial stop. And that would yield a trade size of around 344 shares with a dollar risk if stopped out of 1,497 and some change. And the risk to reward is 4 to 1, because if it gets up into this target zone here, all right, that's a 4.08 positive risk to reward. So that's one that's worth taking. And that's one we kind of like at this particular time, and a good time to get in because your trade size can be fairly high based on where we want you to put your stop at this point. That's it.
All right. Thank you so much, Bennett. Sam, a trade idea?
Sure. I mean, I don't know how many of you are following the evolution of the marijuana industry and the legalization. One company that I've been following very closely has been Scotts Miracle-Gro. It's what I consider to be an indirect play on the marijuana industry. We saw the stock hit an all-time high back in January of 2018, and then it went into essentially a year-long bear market. Then it eventually bottomed at around, I think, 50 $58 at the end of last year, and it has been recovering sharply throughout this year. So we definitely recommend taking a look at Scott's Miracle-Gro. It's currently valued around $97. The target right now that I have is around $115, $120 a share, which would put it above its all-time peak. So that's one company to keep track of if you're following the technicals as well as the fundamental developments going on in the marijuana industry. It's more of a safe play when it comes to a lot of the more volatile pot stocks that are available today.
Thank you so much. All right, Jake, any trades that you're anything that you're watching, anything that is on your heat map right now?
Yeah, if anyone's read the greatest book that's been written about trading called The Behavior of Prices on Wall Street by Art Merrill, then you know there's a seasonal trade coming up to buy stocks on the day before the 4th of July. Very high probability. The 4th of July this year is on a Wednesday. You'd be buying Monday's close, getting out Tuesday's close. Probability is well over 70%. So that's the trade that I'm looking at right now. How's that for being short and sweet?
That is sweet. I actually love trading around holiday cycles. And I know that 4th of July is incredibly important for equity. All right, going to give you guys a quick trade idea that is actually triggering right now, and it is ready with a very shallow pullback within a range, and it's trading actually above Friday's high. The symbol is HUYA. It is an ADR, and I have been in this trade. I have trailed out, and I want to rejoin into this trade for a long position, with the first target into the 2632. So now it is trading at 2562. It has been quite bullish today. It is up 2.32% as of right now. First target into the 2632, and then it has room to progress higher into the 28 and into the 30s. And this is my trade of the day.
Can I see the chart?
I'm sorry. Can you see the charts?
May I share a chart?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so hold on 1 second. Let me figure out how to do this again. So I'm going to go to share.
Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah. I'm going to go to share. That should appear on the left hand side. I can't find it though. It's not showing.
Sometimes you need to hover over it.
I'm hovering. Okay, here we go. Uh-huh. And let me share my screen. One moment, please.
Hey, Jake, while you're working on that, someone from the live audience asked, what was the name of the book you mentioned by Art Merrill?
The Behavior of Prices on Wall Street by Art Merrill. Fabulous book. It was out of print for a while. They brought it back into print. Can anyone see my screen now?
Yes.
Okay, here's the big, big picture on gold. The gold cycle, shown in red, which bottomed back here. This is where we are right now, breaking out of the cycle, heading toward all-time highs. But here's the thing I wanted to show you guys. Right over here in green is commercial buying activity from the commitment of traders. This is the first time that commercials have bought gold in many years. The last time they bought gold was all the way back here. Let me go to a monthly chart. All the way back here in the 1990s before this big move up. So commercial buying activity tends to precede strength in just about every market. And you see, we had nothing until this weekly buying activity by commercials back here at the beginning of this move, almost exactly to the bottom right over here. And that was in October of 2018 when the market bottomed. This down over here is small trader market sentiment. You can see the small trader was very negative at the bottom before this big move up. Small trader now is very bullish, which is a warning sign, not indicative of a top, but usually correlates very closely with the top as a leading indicator. That's all I got to say about it.
Very interesting. Thank you so much, Jake, for sharing. All right. David, we're getting ready to wrap up, right? I think we're running out of time, but all right. Do we have time for one more question?
Sure. Yeah. We have about 9 minutes left. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Bennett, I'm going to go back to you. Any additional comments or suggestions for the upcoming week? Something that we need to be aware of?
Well, I think we pretty much covered a lot of what's coming up in the upcoming week. I think to wrap up, I think what I would have everybody do is focus on risk control. I think, you know, entries and exits, that's a very popular topic and I think very well covered. And I think also too, every speaker here today did a great job from my viewpoint of describing how they analyze markets, you know, a little bit different, but you know, we're heading all pretty much in the right direction. I'd say the same type of analysis for gold for the most part. I thought that was really interesting, Jake, what you did on your commercial buying. That was good. I haven't seen that before. So that was really, I thought, quite good. So I think there's a lot of great information that the viewers have gained for this hour. But I also think, too, risk control is a big part of successful trading. And I really think if you don't have a good risk control program in place and record keeping, that it's going to be hard for you to get to that next level. So I guess what my suggestion would be is really, I think we've covered the markets pretty well. But if you're looking for one area to improve in, I don't think you can improve enough in risk control. So that would be my 2 cents.
Thanks so much, Bennett. Do you have any special classes that you're hosting this week? Any special offerings?
Yeah, we actually, if you go to our website, what you want to do is get on our mailing list. And that's how we keep everybody up to date on webinars that we have. And we do have specific webinars on risk control that would probably benefit most everybody out there. And you can actually look at in our website, if you go to education and software, you can see the various educational materials we have both on risk control and trading, as well as our software tools. So it's all there on the website.
Thank you so much, Bennett. Sam, some closing thoughts, and also where can traders find you, and if you have any offerings for everybody participating?
Sure. I mean, this week I'm mostly focusing on the economic calendar and on the huge developments that are underway now around the world. So I think that it would probably be very beneficial for people to keep track of what's happening on the data wire with durable goods orders, with GDP, with the G20, with OPEC, etc. In terms of what we do, as I mentioned earlier, tradinggods.net is where you can find all the latest resources on how to trade the VIX markets. We have a program called the VIX Trader that gives you the complete A to Z on how to trade volatility in today's market. So you could learn more at tradinggods.net, and we'd be happy to see you there.
Thank you so much, Sam. Jake, any closing thoughts, any advice for the end of the week, and where can traders find you, and if you have any special offerings?
Yeah, everyone did a great job and very happy to be here. You can find me at trade-futures.com. Everything there is a special offering. There's a lot of information there. Bennett, well spoken, especially. I don't trade volatility, so I can't comment on anything Sam did because it's out of my field of expertise, and I think it's probably a good way to do it, but I can't do it myself. In terms of what Bennett said, people ask me, what do I do for a living? I tell them I'm a risk manager. I don't tell them I'm a trader because it's all about managing risk. If you're managing risk and you've got even a marginally profitable strategy, you will make money in the long run. So thanks for those comments, Bennett. Very much appreciated. And Anka, thanks for hosting.
Well, thank you, Jake, for that.
David, thanks for providing the platform.
Yeah, you're welcome. Happy to have you here.
Yeah, and if anyone is interested in Trade Out Loud, our website is tradeoutloud.com. If you're interested in trading futures, learning how to trade futures, learning how to trade the equities market, you can find a lot of information on our website. It is tradeoutloud.com, and this is what I do every single day in the trading room. I basically trade out loud, so I share all my trades. I take them in real time, manage them in real time, manage risk in real time, give management suggestions and also risk suggestions. And now actually the futures market is more accessible for all types of traders with the new micro minis that have just come into the market. So if you guys are interested, hop on our website. It is tradeoutloud.com, and you find out more information there. I want to thank David for hosting this amazing show. I've been on for so long, and it's been great to have Bennett McDowell of the traderscoach.com, Sam Berge of the tradinggods.net, and legend Jake Bernstein of tradefutures.com. So thank you so much, David, and to all my guests, thank you so much, guys, for sticking around. And I hope everybody has a great, fantastic, profitable trading week and a great end of the quarter. So thank you so much. And until next time.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Just a quick reminder, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the archive of this show or any of the past shows. And be sure to join us for the 83rd episode of Analyze Your Trade tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And you can go to timingresearch.com/live to get access to the live event. And Michael Filigera and Jim Kenny will be on for that one. And want to thank all my guests again for today. Bennett McDowell of traderscoach.com, Sam Borgi of tradinggods.net, Jake Bernstein of trade-futures.com, and Anka Metcalf of tradeoutloud.com. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Yeah, thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.